If you have an open mind that permits you to objectively view reality, then this book is for you. Ignorance is no excuse. Chapter 1. The Natural. The natural represents that of nature. The word nature comes from Latin natura, course of things, natural character, constitution, quality, the universe. By the mid-14th century as the forces or processes of the material world, that which produces living things and maintains order. From the late 14th century as creation, the universe, or heredity, birth, hereditary circumstance, essential qualities, inherent constitution, innate disposition, initial character. Some sources detail how the word comes from Egyptian Netcher, meaning God, symbolized hieroglyphically as a simple styled flag on a pole, which represented a force that was known to exist through its observable effects, but difficult or impossible to see with the eye. Netcher was actually pronounced extremely close to the English pronunciation of nature. Nature may be wholly defined as the phenomena of the physical world collectively, including plants, animals, the landscape, and other features and products of the earth, as opposed to humans or human creations. From post-romantic philosophy, Rousseau, Romanticism, Transcendentalism, Muir, Christianity, Mill, etc., as the whole of material reality, considered as independent of human activity and history. From Stoicism, Atomism, Epicurism, Taoism, Descartes, Bacon, Spinoza, Aristotle, Mill, etc., as the whole universe, as it is the place, the source, and the result of material phenomena, including man, or at least man's body. From Heraclitus, Hegel, Nietzsche, Darwin, vitalism, etc., as the specific force at the core of life and change. Also from Aristotle, Mill, etc., as the essence, inner quality, and character, the whole of specific physical properties of an object, live or inert. Therefore, among these definitions, the macro, whole world view of nature would be the all, or that which contains all that is natural, whereas the micro, parts of the whole world, view of nature would be looking at the individual natures, that of which is natural within nature. The essential understanding for what is considered of nature, based on our definitions, is viewing nature through the lens of time. While everything within nature, the micro, is constantly changing, nature, the macro, stays the same. If nature is the constitution, birth, or initial character, the source or God that is core to change itself, then the natural must be what has always existed, being that it is of nature. The natural is then an alignment to nature, the present aligned to the ever-present, the micro aligned to the macro. This relates to the common notion of the universal and timeless natural law, or the law of nature, which is seen as the inescapable or immutable. It cannot be changed, even if attempted or justified otherwise. For ourselves to understand this law, we come to follow it, rather than violate it in the attempt to disobey. Nature may be likened to a self-operating machine, for which we are one of the gears placed within that may work with the machine. This worldview upon all things places scrutiny and question for if they are remaining natural, of nature. For instance, we may ask ourselves if human beings are creating things which have not always existed. Even our own very selves are not permanent or timeless. When we compare ourselves in our creations, micro, to our natural world, the creation, macro, we come to understand the man-made and unnatural as opposed to the natural. Change, time, and nature itself must too be evaluated by the natural and unnatural. For instance, the change that always exists as opposed to change that humans create, or the time that always exists as opposed to the time that humans create, or the nature that always exists as opposed to nature that humans create. Whatever we accept or embrace within our lives, we assume as natural to exist and therefore natural to persist. This gives us the simple equation. What is natural to exist is what is natural to persist. People may assume everything is natural if it exists or can exist. However, you must merely ask yourself one question. Why does it exist? In the same ways an individual may attempt to disregard morality, is the same ways an individual may attempt to disregard the concept of the natural versus unnatural. Just because something naturally occurs does not mean it is natural to exist. And just because something is natural to exist does not mean it is natural to use. Morality, that concerning what is right and wrong, is the very distinction between the natural and unnatural. This distinction must be, since human beings cannot decide to go against the constitution of life. They cannot choose to go against nature. Human beings can only attempt to violate nature, but since they did not create nature itself, they have no power to actually change it. What humans have power over are their own creations and themselves, the micro. Just because human beings are created within the world does not make them unnatural. As far as our own comprehension may seek, the creation of ourselves, or beings as a whole, has always existed. In the same way, the trees grow and give birth. We cannot change the fact humans exist, and we have long existed, as even perhaps in different forms. We cannot speak wholly of nature, for we are only part. Therefore, we may not fully comprehend ourselves or our world, but that does not mean we don't try and learn our place. It, however, means that we recognize a sense of humility and mystery, as with our need for constant learning. We are given humanity by nature, the ability to breathe, to learn, to create, and much more. It is our choice of what to do with what we are given. It is the ability of choice which makes us free, and it equally makes us powerful, especially when we know what choices we make. Time is important because time tells all truth, and time heals all wounds. Therefore, in the case we do wrong to ourselves or our world, nature helps us learn. If we are willing to learn or not, nature will teach us one way or another. This has been said to be karma, natural law, the law of attraction, the golden rule, the moral law, and many other names through many different microcultures and peoples all observing an ever similar macro nature. When we attain knowledge, we attain an understanding of natures. When we attain an understanding of natures, we may better live with nature. Every thought is a question, and every person's life is at question, while nature is the answer. Of the countless quotes, the following quotes are from Socrates, a founding father of philosophy, not of government. This helps encapsulate much of this text. There is only one good, knowledge, and one evil, ignorance. To find yourself, think for yourself. To know is to know you know nothing. That is the meaning of true knowledge. I cannot teach anybody anything. I can only make them think. Strong minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. Weak minds discuss people. He who is not contented with what he has would not be contented with what he would like to have. If you don't get what you want, you suffer. If you get what you don't want, you suffer. Even when you get exactly what you want, you still suffer because you can't hold on to it forever. Your mind is your predicament. It wants to be free of change, free of pain, free of the obligations of life and death. But change is law, and no amount of pretending will alter that reality. Everyone wants to tell you what to do and what's good for you. They don't want you to find your own answers. They want you to believe theirs. The easiest and noblest way is not to be crushing others, but to be improving yourselves. No man is capable of causing great evil without thinking he's doing the right thing. In understanding morality and the concept of nature, we must also examine word usage. Every word we use is representative for an idea, a particular nature that becomes more definitive the clearer our definition is. However, since the word definition means to limit or prescribe, and being that we create words, the definitions are prone to change and several words may define the same idea. Therefore, the goal is not to get stuck on words, but rather to always seek for context and intent. There are many words and word variations related to that of natural, nature, or right, rightful, and that may include honest, honesty, health, healthy, truth, truthful, real, really, just, justice, standard, genuine, moral, morality, regular, correct, sensible, reasonable, enforced, fundamental, whole, or essential. Whereas the words related to that of unnatural, denature, denatured, or wrong, wrongful, may include dishonest, dishonesty, unhealthy, unhealthiness, untruth, untruthful, unreal, not really, fake, artificial, illusory, illusion, unjust, injustice, immoral, immorality, abnormal, aberrational, forced, pretended, feigned, contrived, or incorrect. The similarities among these words also further proves their close correlations. We may further realize that we cannot escape these terms in our day-to-day lives, as because we are always making choices for ourselves. With knowledge, we know what we are really doing, and therefore, we know how our nature interacts with the nature of the world around us. Furthermore, we may replace the word really with the word naturally, or the words really good with the words naturally natural, or the word sad with more unnatural, or even the word good with happy. Disputes upon the similarities may help us see why these different words exist in the very first place. We could choose to make new words for the same meanings, but why wouldn't we use the same words unless we felt as if they do not fulfill a certain meaning, a certain nature? These reasons all explain as to why naturosophy exists as a term and philosophy. To know what we are doing in life, nature, is to have an answer, and equally so, purpose, intent, reason, meaning, no confusion, clarity, and direction. If we ensure that what we are doing is natural, then the direction we go, we know. What we sow, we know. Do we only learn about what is natural through time? Would nature not give us other signs or warnings? Time tells us all truth and all natures in their respective time and place, as because nature and its laws constitutes order. It is, again, the Constitution. Therefore, when you ask upon what is not just natural to exist, but also what is natural to use or occur, always take into consideration that nature will tell you through time, coming to affect your own very existence, usage, and occurrences, forming effects. Not everyone will look at macro nature this deeply, as among looking at every micro nature within. However, people partake in this learning every day just as much as they use the terms. As you learn, you come to know. As you feed yourself, you come to grow. Inversely, as you do not learn, you come to be ignorant. As you do not feed yourself, you malnourish. As you invest in whatever you choose, you attract and come to achieve. If an individual thinks of the unnatural as natural, so they will follow its path. This path or direction is effect to effect, nurture to nature, continuously. The natural supports nature, whereas the unnatural supports the denatured. Another way to be said, effects may either be naturalizing, natural right for naturalization, nature naturalized, or denaturing, unnatural wrong for denaturalization, denaturalized, denatured. Being that all that is unnatural is that not of nature, not real, not truthful, it can only be attempted into existence. Time will show that the unnatural cannot persist without taking a toll on the natural that lives underneath, that allowed its very existence. A simple formula may be recognized. The naturalizing supports or gives to the natural, whereas the denaturing violates or steals from the natural. If we embraced the underlying foundation, being the natural nature, this would be much akin to embracing the way of nature, or the Tao, as mentioned in Taoism and the Tao Te Ching. The unnatural can only take from nature, it cannot create anything new. Even when it attempts to create something new, it really hasn't, hence the definition of illusory. However, seeing the unnatural requires knowledge of the natural. The very terms unnatural and natural would not exist if it weren't for some sense of detachment or unalignment to our world. If an individual were to say natural nature, it is redundant in the context that nature is always nature, unless it can sometimes not be, but it always is. Therefore, the natural or natural law simply is nature, being that it is what consists of nature. The nature of all denaturing or evil alike is to create the unnecessary or the distraction. If individuals aren't able to see this, they permit the unnatural as if it is natural. They embrace what will come to be a world of confusion or the unknown. Every lie is a distorted truth. It makes truth no longer truth, and following it always leads to confusion. To rather be honest allows the truth to express, always leading to knowledge. In the macro scale, a world of consistent, persistent, or aggregate naturalization will allow evolution, progress, optimization, generation, and sustainability. Whereas, a world of consistent, persistent, or aggregate denaturalization will create regret, stagnation, extinction, loss, and degeneration. Being able to live life and therefore allow life is one where you need not create more. You already have much, you embrace or recognize nature, the infinite. The natural comes natural, the Tao is embraced. The man-made in this light may seem by default unnatural, as it certainly is not the most natural or infinite. It is not more of nature, it is more of man. However, man will always create, as it is also in his nature. His creations with the knowledge of nature applied can have natural or naturalizing effects, helping us understand that just because something is not natural to exist does not mean it is not natural to use. Therefore, man should not depend upon his creations if he knows their limited nature or their very dependency, man and nature itself. Creations reflect the creator and creation, and the creator reflects creation in other creators. With dependency onto our creations, we may lose touch with creation itself and create loss despite how much we created to gain. What was to be complementary becomes supplementary. To truly gain or win for that of nature, you may need to lose that of the man-made. This paradox in more being less, or in the man-made not being truly fulfilling, is recognizing the way of nature in naturalization. It is important to know that one can take without stealing, and every choice we make, as it is our answer, it is equally a taking. Stealing is taking something that does not naturally belong to you. It violates ownership. If we do something that is out of place or not for the right time, we must further our alignment to nature, to time and place, so to make wise choices. In any case, nature helps to bring us back to focus, on track, and at a balance, order, and harmony. It must, since it is the constitution we cannot avoid. It is the birth born ever before our birth. To have dependency assumes in the very first place that it is essential or natural to your living. If you do not know how to live without a man-made stove, without man-made food, without a man-made drug, or any other thing, you accept the premises that it is natural to your nature and to your life. When we long accept the unnatural and it becomes our aggregate reality, nature may seem distant and unclear until it becomes no longer. Therefore, even if it seems like we have lost the natural, it is only because of the presence of the unnatural, like a veil of darkness covering the light. The light is still there, but being suppressed and therefore lacking in function. If man creates the problem, then equally so, man can get rid of it. For another simple equation, we may understand that when we think, say, or act from knowledge or embrace of nature, we do so for naturalizing. Whereas, when we think, say, or act from the lack or disregard or ignorance of the natural by man-made authority, we do so for denaturing. Effects can also be seen through the lens of time, because humans may need the naturally wrong for them to use to learn what is naturally right for them to use, and they cannot persist in doing what is wrong too long. Indeed, there are natural problems in the world in relation to humans, such as poisonous plants or mistaken behavior, but those may always exist and are essential for learning. The fault is not on nature, but on man, if human beings have the nature to learn and align to nature. Trying to put nature in any box or limited perspective, even if it makes sense, is often the very problem, and there are endless perspectives upon nature. Everything that man creates is encapsulating some part of nature and using it in ways according to man's own will. If man should attempt to alter or supplement nature, creating dependency onto it or him, this creates man-made authority. The word authority implies what should be followed or obeyed. If man is complementing nature with his creation and recognizing its faults and natural roots, creating naturalizing effects with no dependency unto it, it would be to respect natural authority. This is much like keeping oneself in their own place, their own control. They belong to themselves, they own themselves. The authority and time and place is where it should be. This is much like creating something to reflect or express oneself, realizing that it is not oneself wholly. The identity or thing is not the natural individual. No unnatural attachment shall be made. In light of natural authority, for individual sovereignty, self-mastery, self-control, ruler of self, is coming to know that we each may assist each other for further learning, as because we all have something to share, being that we are each unique of our own observations and experiences. If we know our boundaries, then we help others but do not transgress or violate upon them. In practice for that of this shared pursuit for knowledge, as our individual selves come together, we may recognize that every nature has a nature of its own, and therefore we must ask ourselves what consists of such a nature. There is no only one way to seek out the constitution or nature of anything. However, let us learn of one optional method, which may be called the nature dynamic. You start with thinking of something. It can be anything, simple or complex. Once you have it in your mind, or written down, you break it down with the following procedures. Your answers replace the word nature in the brackets. The simple or true nature. What is the intended use or function? For nature. The base nature. What are the requirements? From nature. The core nature. What is it made of? Of nature. The second nature, the second simple natures. What are the impacts or effects? Can be the nature of nature. Optional descriptives. The general nature. What is the type or form? A nature. The higher nature. What is the greater simple nature? For a nature. Another method for learning the nature of anything or how it can be shared can be found by reading Nature's Radical Honesty, a practical application of naturosophy. As this is all a practice within naturosophy, we are all ever practicing within life. Understanding the nature of anything may best be known by reading Sapientia Naturae, the guidebook. These dynamics and topics will be used in the following chapters to help create an example diagnosis, diagnosis by way of knowledge, or analysis of that which humanity has partaken in for many years, affecting them in many ways. In conclusion, understanding nature is coming to also understand ourselves. We learn what to create with what has been created. We give birth with what has given birth. The word genus is Latin for birth, like gene, give birth. Nature from natus or nasi, birth, born, to be born. Homo sapien is the genus of human beings, for which homo sapere means man being wise, alike human from Latin humanus, humane, gentle, learned. We may want to ask ourselves if we are allowing wisdom, if we are learning, if we are giving birth to that which goes against birth. It is all the matter of the way we take in our lives, what world we are creating or contributing toward. Is nature and hence its knowledge in the aggregate? Or is it being veiled off by a darkness, a lie, or deception in the aggregate? If you care about nature, inquire about your way. When we say of nature is that which is natural, the word of also means away or away from. And therefore it means away from nature, but indeed it is a way. The word from may also mean forward, which means before, toward, bringing in the aspect of time once more, providing more perspective and the never-ending etymology of words. Everything we do may be away from nature, but the question is, how far will we go and in what way? It is nature which is the given reality. Which is why following it is merely living it, allowing it. If we want life, we must live. We are among each other in this life. We must live with each other, and therefore let each other live.